Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Stump the Mom, where we quiz each other on wild breastfeeding facts and more. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 192. Hi.
Hi.
It's so nice to hear your voice.
Oh, thanks. Yours too.
It's nice to sit in a room without my children and talk to you every week.
I know.
I love it.
I love it too.
Speaking of which, let's talk about our children.
Yeah, yeah. We get away from our children so we can talk about our children.
We should start a podcast about something completely different from parenting.
We should. Oh my gosh. Let's brainstorm that one.
We'll have to work on that. But in the meantime, we do have this podcast, and I'm sure everyone wants to know how your week has been. What have you guys been up to?
Okay, we are fine. Everyone is about the same age as they were last week, just a week older.
Which was?
3 and 5. No, 6 now. Oh my God. Okay.
See, look at you. See, this is why I had to ask, because you forget sometimes how old your kids are.
That's true.
Yeah, your new 6-year-old.
Yeah, my new 6-year-old. So here's a little story about something that happened this week.
Okay.
Elle came home from school the other day, and we were all hanging out on the porch and just sitting around enjoying each other's company. I got some new chairs out there and just hanging out as a family. It was really fun. And she was talking about how it was Lunar New Year recently, mm-hmm. and they had been talking about it at school. And she was talking about how this is now the year of the tiger. And that was exciting to her because she loves tigers. Mm-hmm. But also in her class, they were talking about how she and a lot of her classmates were born in the year of the monkey, right? Because she was born in 2016. And I was like, oh, the monkey, that's really cool. And I remembered that, you know, you can look this stuff up online and it will tell you, I guess, like your astrology associated with that animal or whatever and kind of describe the person's personality. And, you know, I'm kind of a sucker for that stuff. And I thought it might just be a fun thing to talk about. And so I was like, oh, let me look up the year of the monkey and see what attributes the monkeys have. Because, you know, you seem kind of like a monkey-ish kid. That seems like it could be right. And she's like, oh, okay. And so I looked it up and it said that monkeys are adventurous and ambitious. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she heard that, she's like, oh, yes, that is me. And I'm like, it is you. Yeah, you're totally like adventurous and you go for what you want. That's cool. And they're like, what's CC? And I was like, okay, she was born in 2018. And we looked it up and it was year of the dog.
Ooh, I'm a year of the dog.
Oh, you are? Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Well, here's what it said about year of the dog.
Very curious.
Yeah, dogs are communicative, serious, and responsible.
Okay, that works for me. That sounds, yeah. I mean, that sounds like it describes me.
Yeah. And Cece heard that and she immediately said, oh, yep, that's me. I thought was really cute. And also I'm like, that is kind of her. She's pretty like, can be pretty serious and focused, you know, when
she's
into something.
You're right. She is very serious, like a lot of the time.
Yeah, she really is. And so then I was like, you guys, what am I? Like, I wanted to know what I was because I'm year of the horse. So I looked up horse and the attributes are animated, active, and energetic. So I read that out to them and I was like thinking to myself, that is good. Like that describes me to a T. I'm like, these things are so accurate. And, you know, out loud, I was like, ooh, yeah, that's totally me too. And Elle pauses and she like tilts her head a little bit and she's like, well, you're not energetic. And I was like, oh. Okay. And then she goes, oh, or active. And I was like, oh, sick burn, man. That like.
That cuts deep.
That cut so deep because, first of all, I've always fancied myself an active and energetic person. Mm-hmm. Like when I was a kid, I was just kind of like a little more energetic and hyper than a lot of people, my family and other kids. And so that's always been a part of my identity. And I feel like I'm more of a fast moving person. And when I'm at my best, you know, that's who I am. And that's how what I like about myself and how I see myself. And she was just like, no, I do not see that in you.
Aww.
At all. And I was like, as I'm sitting there on my Adirondack chair in my fur-lined leggings, jeans and my giant blanket hoodie, like sitting on my butt doing nothing. I'm like, she's kind of right. Like, this is kind of how I've been as a mom, you know, like, especially since the pandemic.
Yeah.
Go out and do a lot of the stuff that I would probably normally have done. And that just gave me a self-check. I was just like, wow, I don't want her to continue seeing me as like an unenergetic, inactive mom. And like, even for the rest of the day, I noticed I was like overcompensating. And the way I was talking to her even, I was like, hey, kids, hey, Elle, let me see your homework, you know, just trying to infuse everything with more energy. And that felt a bit disingenuous. I think I need to like make other changes in my life to be the person I want to be. And, you know, but wow, that was an eye opener.
Suddenly you're talking like Blippi all the time. Hey, kids.
But, you know, that's a good point, though, because that's the kind of stuff they watch. And that's probably what she considers active and energetic. Right? Like Blippi.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, compared to Blippi, I'm not.
Compared to Blippi, yeah. And also, you have a desk job and she just spent 2 years watching you do your desk job all day.
True.
Like, if any kid watched their parent who has a desk job do their job, they would be like, oh man, my mom sits a lot. You know? It's like, yeah, we know.
Yes. And half the time I was doing that desk job on the couch. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I definitely have not come across as energetic and active to her. And yeah, I can see why.
You know, it's so funny because I totally, like, in my mind, you are energetic and active. Like,
oh, good.
That's how I know you. You know, you were always like off doing things. You always were, you know, you were always exercising and hiking and running. And like, I just think of you as energetic and active and like going on trips and like wanting to plan stuff. And I think it must be another casualty of the pandemic that it's pulled you back a little bit, right? Because you can't do all the things that you used to do. Because I feel like you're the type of mom who like plans stuff for every weekend with your kids, you know? Like, that's how you are in my mind.
Well, that's good. I'm really happy to hear that, like, at least someone sees me that way.
Tell Elle I've known you a lot longer than she's known you.
True.
And I think you're energetic and active.
Thank you. I will tell her that. But I also am motivated to try to do more, you know, with the kids and just in my life to be more than just a person who sits in my big blanket hoodie sitting around looking at my phone. So that was kind of my big aha moment for the week.
Wow.
And, otherwise, things are fine. I don't have too much else to say. So I think we can move on to you and your life.
Okay. Well, as you know, I did have a kind of big thing happen this week.
Yeah? I know. What?
Sebastian turned one, Shauna.
Oh, my God. That's right.
My little baby. My little itty bitty baby who doesn't do anything. He just lies on his back and is a little squish, is actually 1 year old and officially a toddler now who walks around all the time and won't sit still.
Oh my God. That's huge. And I don't think you had a party or anything, or if you did, I wasn't invited. So maybe. Okay, good.
Don't worry. It wasn't like, well, I can't tell Shauna about this big party we're having. No. I mean, after having to like cancel and then have a tiny party for Augie, I was just like, I didn't have it in me to have a party for Sebastian for his birthday. And then I had like that mom guilt. You know, I was talking about this with some friends recently. Like, they were talking about mom guilt, and I'm usually like, oh, I'm pretty immune to mom guilt. Like, I don't get hit with pangs of mom guilt. And then I think about the difference in how I did things with Augie versus how I'm doing things with Sebastian. Like, specifically celebrating and one-on-one time and stuff like that. Like, Augie got so much focused attention. He was the first, you know?
Yep.
And it wasn't a pandemic. He had this huge birthday party at Playlab, which is like this play space near us. And, you know, we invited all of our friends and just had a normal party because this was like January 2020. So we all thought that was normal and fine and nothing was ever going to change that.
Wow.
And with Sebastian, I was like, I'm going to pick up a fancy cupcake from Vaughn's and put a candle in it.
I love it. He probably loved it.
Yeah. But you know what? He's won. And the truth is, he doesn't know the difference. And, you know, we made a celebration out of it. We got balloons and my mom and stepdad came into town. So that was really nice. And so, like, we got to, like, sing him happy birthday and he got to smash a, you know, quote unquote cake. He smashed a big cupcake. Like, it turns out at Vaughn's, which is like our local grocery store, you can just buy like a really cute giant sized cupcake and it's perfect as a smash cake. Like, who needs anything else, right?
Yeah.
Did you get to see pictures? Do you want me to send you a picture of him smashing his cake?
No, I haven't seen any pictures. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Oh my gosh. And my mom got him this giant Elmo balloon, like 6 foot tall Elmo balloon.
You'll see it in
the background being creepy.
Oh, he looks like such a little gentleman. He looks like a big boy. And that cupcake is really big. And Elmo is just ginormous lurking over him. Oh, he's so cute.
Yeah, Elmo's a little scary. Like, Elmo scared me a couple times this week because you know how Mylar balloons are? They kind of float into weird positions. Like, if you have air going, they kind of, like, migrate around the house. And at some point, I came around the corner and Elmo was, like, standing in the doorway. Like, in the dark.
Oh, no.
And I literally jumped. I thought there was a person standing in our, like, darkened doorway.
That's terrifying.
It was. Oh. It was actually terrifying.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah, he's won. And another fun thing that happened was that he graduated from his Mommy and Me class. Did I show you those pictures?
No.
Okay, hold on. You've got to see because I couldn't get the cap on him, but I got the gown on him. So I will show you his little graduation photo from our Mommy and Me class. Okay, I'm sending you two pictures from his graduation.
Okay. Oh my gosh, that robe. I love that you guys do caps and robes. That's hilarious. Look at all his big smile. Good job, buddy.
Yeah. So he's just a little joy. Yeah, I'm really, you know, I feel a little sad about him growing up and now he's not a baby anymore, even though he's totally a baby, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Still a little baby energy from him. But I'm reminded how much I love one-year-olds. Like, it's such a fun age. It really, really is. Like, I loved when Augie was one. Like, because they're not quite old enough to have, like, the serious tantrums. Like, they have their moments, but they haven't gotten to that, like, diabolical, oh my God, like, this is never going to end tantrum phase quite yet. And they're, like, really interactive and they start to, like, say words and do stuff. And it's just, oh, it's so cute. They're so cute. So I'm excited to have a one-year-old.
Yay. Basically. That's exciting.
Yeah. And then the other part of my check-in this week is that after Sebastian turned one, 2 days after his birthday is actually Corey's brother's birthday. And it was a big one. I won't say which one because I don't know if I'm allowed, but it was a big one with a zero at the end. And because of it, we had originally thought about like doing a big family trip up to Mammoth, the ski area that's about 4.5-5 hours away from here. And we were going to like meet his brother, Dan, and his partner, Angela. And we were going to like, you know, have a fun time with Auntie Angela, Uncle Dan, and have the kids in the snow and blah, blah, blah. That plan was scuttled after our trip to Newport Beach with my mom in December. Because it was so hard traveling just like an hour away with the kids that Corey and I were just like, this is going to be a nightmare. We can't do this. So the plan changed to Corey was just going to go for 3 nights to be with his brother. And they were going to like have a brother snowboarding trip and bond and all that stuff. And I'd stay home with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The rub is that, you know, two kids, one parent is also a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
So we called in some reinforcements. So, you know, my mom wanted to come in for Sebastian's birthday. So she and my stepdad ended up staying through the following weekend so they could help.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And Sherry, my mother-in-law, came to stay at our house for the days that Corey was gone. So
awesome.
We got double grandma power. Mm-hmm. For the weekend. And it was actually really great and fun. And my mom stayed at a hotel, so we got to go and like swim in the pool at the hotel, which Augie loved. And
fun.
Yeah, it was honestly not bad because, you know, you get the extra grandma help. And the kids were having fun with all the novelty of everything, you know, the birthday hangover and the pool and all that stuff. And oh my gosh, Augie slept till 8 a.m. two of the days that Corey was gone. Yeah, because he was so like, he was so pooped from like going in the pool and stuff. So yeah, so it actually worked out.
That's so fun. I love that. It's amazing what like a few helping hands can do when you're trying to take care of two kids by yourself.
Seriously. So that was our week. Very eventful.
Yeah, sounds like a good one.
But that's it for my check-in this week. Shall we move on to our special segment?
I think we should. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Alo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Alo Moves has to offer, visit alomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Alo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Alo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's alomoves.com, code BFP. alomoves.com, code BFP.
We are back, and this week our special segment is Stump the Mom, where Laura and I quiz each other on fascinating facts about pregnancy, parenting, kids, toddlers, all that jazz, and see who comes out victorious. I think we've actually stopped keeping score.
Yes, for sure.
It makes me too anxious and uptight. I just get way too competitive. So I don't know.
Which is funny because I'm pretty sure you're winning. Like 99% sure you're winning. But yeah.
All right. Well, let's just jump right into it. You are up first. What's your first Stump the Mom question?
Okay, here's my first question. So back in 2020, when the first COVID stay-at-home orders were in place, people joked about it creating a baby boom. And obviously, I was one of the people who had a pandemic baby, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are also pandemic parents. But It turns out that there was actually a baby bust worldwide, with dropping birth rates in many countries. Here's the question. Which country had the biggest drop in birth rates during the pandemic? Was it the United States? Was it Italy? Or was it the Netherlands?
Excellent question. I have no insight to go on here. I am going to guess the United States.
Wrong. The U.S. did see a drop, but it was only 3.8%, which turns out wasn't a statistically significant number, according to the study. The correct answer is Italy.
Okay.
In Italy, there was a 9.1% reduction in birth rates.
Well, I should have picked Italy because they were hit hard in the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Got to put on my thinking cap.
Yeah, they were hit super hard at the beginning. You know, so I read about this in a Scientific American article that was like a roundup of the study. There were their roundup of a couple studies about it. And it's so interesting because like the subtitle of this article was like, you know, it was like titled There Was a Baby Bust in 2020 and 2021, right? Mm-hmm. And it said, researchers believe economic uncertainty may be to blame. And sure, like, of course, not knowing if you're going to have the money to have a baby is totally a reason people don't have babies. But like nowhere in the article did it suggest that people were like literally afraid for their lives and their babies' lives. Maybe what was causing the decline in births was the fact that like pregnant women were more at risk and they were worried that their babies would be more at risk. Like,
yeah,
it's just so interesting to me that that wasn't even like part of the calculation in this like conjecture. It's like,
right.
So weird.
Like people might not stop and think, ooh, maybe this isn't the best time for me to get pregnant. Maybe I'll just put it off for a few months or a year.
Yeah.
They didn't mention anything like that.
No, I mean, they didn't have any reasons. They just were going off of the data, but like they were guessing economic uncertainty. It might be because like the Netherlands, which was my third option, actually saw a little bit of an increase. It was another one that was like not statistically significant, but it was a little bit of an increase in most of the Nordic countries. And they think it might have had to do with like the fact that they had better
economic resiliency or something like that. But again, it's like, or they know that they have socialized healthcare there and they like will get treated if they fall ill.
Ooh, good point.
Anyway.
Good point. My other thought is that people just literally weren't getting together. Like, you know, spouses or partners. Okay. But what about all the people who are out there boning on dates and everything?
Yeah.
That just wasn't happening as much during the pandemic that I know of.
Yeah. Less boning with random dates. But also, like, you know, even people in long term or monogamous short term relationships, like, you know, global pandemic just doesn't really make you feel super sexy, you know? You're not just like, ooh, mortality rates rising. Like, let's get it on.
Sexy.
You're sexy. So anyway, for whatever reason, it happened. And Italy was hit the hardest in this study. So, and that makes sense because Italy was really scary at the very beginning. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember that. So, okay. Well, you didn't get it right, but we learned something. I want you to hit me with your first question.
Okay. Pseudomenstruation is a phenomenon that happens in some children at what age? A, 8 to 9 years. B, 3 to 4 years. C, 0 to 1 month.
Oh, I think I know this. I think it's 0 to 1 month.
Yes, that's correct. Yes. Because when babies are still in the womb, they're exposed to high levels of estrogen from their mom. And so when they're born, they become disconnected from that source of estrogen. And so just like in our cycle, right, like that goes away and then, boop, we start bleeding. That can happen in some newborns, too. And that can freak some parents out to see that in their baby's diaper. But it is normal and it usually lasts for a couple days and it usually happens within the first few weeks of life. And I thought that was interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I've heard of that. I've heard it's a thing that people with baby girls are caught very by surprise when they it looks like their baby has like a period in their diaper, basically.
Yeah,
it must be really surprising. I wouldn't know.
I wonder if that happened to any of our listeners. If that's happened to anyone here, we would love to know.
Yeah, and how you reacted, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I got that one.
All right. Well, that was an easy one. Good job, Laura. Good job. What's your next one?
Okay. So I just hit 1 full year of nursing Sebastian. And as you know, I've also been continuously breastfeeding for 3 years now, more than 3 years, because I never stopped with Augie. So that made me wonder what mammal actually breastfeeds their babies the longest? Is it orangutans? Is it Asian elephants? Or is it hooded seals?
Oh, like my first instinct when you asked the question was to say elephant, like right off the bat, I thought elephant. But then you threw in something called the hooded seal, which like who's heard of a hooded seal? Not a lot of people. So I'm thinking maybe that's the answer. But why would a seal nurse for years? It seems like they would just eat fish. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to go hooded seal. Why not?
Oh, sorry, friend. It's actually neither of those two. It's the orangutans.
Oh, okay.
Orangutans have been known to nurse for 7 years. Like, it's been very well documented that they nurse for 7 years.
Say what?
But they've now shown in other studies that they can nurse up to 9 years if there's like a food scarcity issue or something. So
like the same baby or are we talking like consecutive babies?
No, the same baby. The same baby.
Whoa.
They tested like barium levels in teeth and orangutan teeth. And because I guess there's a lot of barium in orangutan breast milk, but not in like their other sources of food. And after a year, when they start eating other foods, it goes way down. But because I guess teeth are kind of like tree rings, like you can see like how much of a certain food they were getting based on like where in the tooth it is. I don't know.
Oh,
so they tested and they saw that they had barium up to 9 years in their
teeth.
Yeah, which is very cool. Asian elephants are up to 4 years. So like I'm getting up into Asian elephant territory.
Yes, you are.
And the reason I brought up hooded seals, you're right. It's like, why did she throw a hooded seal in there? Is that they're actually the shortest duration of nursing. They nurse for 4 days. But my next question is actually about the hooded seals. So I'll get back to them.
Okay. Very cool. All right.
All right. What's my next question?
Okay. Which signal do infants and young children use to determine whether two people have a strong relationship and a mutual obligation to help each other? A, sharing saliva. B, touching skin. C, sharing toys.
So I feel like I saw a headline about this that I didn't read the actual piece, but I saw something about like swapping saliva is important, which is what I'm thinking might be the answer, because like that's a weird thing, but it is also a thing that we do with people, like, you know, it's really gross to think about it, but that's what, you know, you break down like kissing is, right? So yeah, I'm going to go with sharing saliva. Ew.
Yay, you're correct. Okay. Yay. Yeah, so neuroscientists from MIT did research recently, and the research showed that babies expect people who share saliva to come to one another's aid when they're in distress. So like basically the way they set up the research study is that the babies were watching like two people with puppets play with each other. And like one person would share food with their puppet, you know, and the other person would just share a toy with their puppet. So the baby would watch these two interactions. And then both puppets would become in distress about something, I don't know. And then they watched to see like who would the babies think was going to help this puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Like which person would the baby look to help the puppet? The one that shared a toy or the one that shared food? And they would look to the person who shared food with the puppet. And then they did another one where like someone would kiss the puppet or something. And they always looked to the person that shared saliva in some way, whether that was like kissing or, you know, eating food or something like that. And they expected that to be like the closer relationship and the helper relationship rather than someone who only shared like toys or a touch or something like that.
I mean, it seems a little strange to me to jump to saliva when it could just be like mouth, right?
Like, yeah.
Like the mouth is, I don't know. But I guess they must have a reason. Either that or they knew it would make a headline. So
maybe, maybe. Or maybe there was one part where they were just straight up licking the puppets. I don't know. I don't know all the details of the study. Anyway, so good job. Good job. High five for that one.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's your next question?
Okay, so as promised, I have a question about hooded seals. I hope you've been studying your hooded seal trivia.
Yeah, in the last 3 minutes, I've been on it.
All right. So while the hooded seal only nurses her babies for less than a week, those days are remarkable. Which of the following is true about hooded seals? Is it A, the mother's milk is about 30% fat? Is it B, that the pups double in size in 4 days? Or is it C, that she makes about 8 liters of milk per day, about 2 gallons?
I think the most remarkable of those would be that the pup doubles in size in 4 days. So that's what I'm going to go with.
You are correct.
Yay. Okay. I need to look up a hooded seal because I honestly can't like visualize what they look like. Do they have hoods?
So the dudes do. So like the females and the babies just look like big old round seals, you know? But the dude seals have like, they're kind of funny looking, not going to lie.
Oh, interesting. Almost looks like they have some kind of
tumor
on their nose. Yeah, that too. How funny. Never knew that.
Yeah. So they live up in like the Arctic Ocean, like north, you know, like North Europe, like Greenlandy area, I think. The pups are born at about 55 pounds, and in 4 days, they get up to 110 to 120 pounds.
That is wild. What?
And you want to know how that happens?
How?
So option C was that she makes about 2 gallons of milk a day. She actually makes almost 6 gallons of milk a day.
That's
22 liters. of milk.
That's a lot. Uh-huh.
It's a lot. And my first option was that the mom's milk has 30% fat. Well, it actually is 56 to 71% fat.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot. For reference, heavy cream is 30 to 40% fat.
Oh.
And butter is 80% fat. So, like, it's almost butter.
That would explain the rapid growth.
Yes. So this baby drinks 6 gallons of butter every day for 4 days and
wow.
gains 55 pounds.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then is weaned. Like, boop, that's it. I'm
yeah.
done. Yeah.
See ya.
See ya.
Go get those fish.
Exactly. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So good job with that question. You got that one.
Yay.
And I think you have one more for me, don't you?
I do, but should we take a quick break and come back with it?
Oh, good. Let's keep our audience in suspense.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, so we are back, and there's one more question that Shauna has for me, and I'm going to try to get it right, but we'll see. Shauna?
Yes.
Can you try to stump the mom?
I am going to try. The Guinness World Record for Breast Milk Donation. You know, now as I'm reading this, I feel like this is in your wheelhouse. It's something you're going to know. But anyway, whatever. I'm going to do it anyway. The Guinness World Record for breast milk donation is held by a mom who donated how many ounces of milk?
Oof. Okay.
A, 6,000. B, 12,000. C, 16,000.
Okay, let's see. So 6, 12, or 16? Those are the numbers?
Yeah.
Okay. So definitely not 6,000, because I feel like people can do that pretty easily. Not easily. I mean, God, that's a lot of work. But like, I am about to donate about 250 ounces. Mm-hmm. And that was me pumping like once a day for a couple months. So let's see. Let's just say you are a massive overproducer and you produce an extra 20 ounces a day and you can donate for a year, 365, 740. Oh, no. Well, I see where this is becoming an issue because that math is way lower than 6,000. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to go with the biggest number, 16,000.
You are correct.
All right.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a lot.
That is so much. This mom named Amelia Boomker is a mom of four, you know, so she's got a lot of time to pump and be able to donate.
Well, she's had four kids, so she has a lot of breast milk like coming out of her. But like, I wouldn't say that when you have four kids, you have a lot of time to pump and donate.
No. What I meant was she has like each year for mm-hmm. each kid. You know what I mean? Because like if you have yeah. one child, you only have 1 year to produce this much milk. But this yeah. actually is the amount of milk she donated between 2008 and 2013. But she donated 16,321 ounces of milk
wow.
to the Indiana Mother's Milk Bank in that amount of time. And she beat the world record, which I think was previously around 14,000 ounces. And that's equal to 127 gallons. So take
wow.
that hooded seal.
Mm? Wow. How amazing
yeah.
is that?
I know. It's so amazing. It also equals 4,000 bottles and
wow.
816 venti lattes at Starbucks, if you want to make it really real. But the interesting thing, and I got this information from today.com, a piece about Boomker, said that for all that abundance, she was actually never able to successfully breastfeed her own four boys very well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, her oldest son was born with a heart condition and had to be tube fed. And so she spent a lot of time in the lactation room at the hospital pumping to give him milk and pumped extra for donation. Her next son had a high palate and was never able to latch. Her next son just never took to breastfeeding. And then her youngest was only able to do it for a few weeks. So she didn't actually nurse her babies for very long,
wow.
but she is a pro at pumping for them and for donation.
Wow. That's so interesting and good for her. I'm sure
yeah.
she helped a lot of people with
yes.
that milk. So hats off. Also, pumping sucks. Like, not
yeah.
a pun, you know, not a joke. It just sucks. So
yeah,
well,
it's
good
not
on
my
her
favorite
for,
thing.
No. Well, Shauna.
Yeah.
I don't want to brag or anything.
I knew this was coming. Okay. I'm proud of you. I know where you're going with this. You won this round of Stump the Mom. Yay! Good job.
Didn't I have a perfect game? Just saying.
Oh, yes. I forgot to mention that. You got 3 for 3. Very good.
3 for 3. But you did get the hooded seal question. So
I did.
That's some extra bonus points for you. But
sweet.
I do think it's time now to move on to our BFPs and BFNs. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we close every episode with a big fat positive or a big fat negative from the week. And Shauna, you're up first to tell us what you got, a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Yay.
So a while back on the show in a mom confessions segment, I think, I confessed that I impulse purchased a Dr. Becky parenting course after I'd had like a couple glasses of wine. Do you remember
yes,
this?
Yes. Oh, yes, yeah, yes, I remember.
Yes. Yeah. I still have not watched that one.
Oh, man. I thought that might be your BFP.
No, it's not. My BFP is that I impulse purchased another Dr. Becky course. I was not drinking at this time, but I was on the heels of a very stressful day and few weeks with Cece. I mean, I've been talking about how her behavior is a bit challenging, especially now that she's three. And just the last few days in particular, I'm like struck by how often she's melting down. And I just don't know what to do about it. Like oftentimes these meltdowns happen like when she needs to use the potty and we go into the bathroom and it's like, do you want me to get the stool for you? And she's like, no. And like, she had wanted to get the stool, but I didn't know that. And I try to get the stool and like, she flips out and ends up just like standing there and peeing her pants on the floor.
Oh,
and it's
no.
this whole thing. And I am just gobsmacked by it, right? Because maybe this is normal child behavior and Elle was especially easy, or Elle was normal and this is a bit extra. I honestly don't know, but I was putting her to bed and thinking about the day. I think she'd even had a meltdown, like as, you know, we were getting ready for bed. And I was thinking, what is wrong with her? Like, what is wrong with me? I just, nothing I do helps in these situations. None of the like gentle, respectful parenting stuff that I used to use on Elle, talking about her feelings, like, oh, I know you're really upset. None of that works. It just pisses her off more. And I just felt stumped. Like, I guess, like, I'm just not as good of a mom as I thought I was. So that's kind of like where I was mentally. And we all know that the internet and Facebook and Google read your mind along with like listen to you and everything. Even though they say they don't, I swear to God they do. So I go out to the couch after putting her to bed and I'm scrolling through Facebook and an ad pops up for a Dr. Becky course called Deeply Feeling Kids. And her description that went along with it piqued my interest. I was like, what is this? Like, that sounds like something that could be Cece, right? And this course that was advertised to me is a bundle. It's not just one course. It's two courses. and so I go to her site to read about what the course is. And here's some bullet points of what this course addresses.
Okay.
This workshop is for you if any of these feel true. You have a child who gets dysregulated, upset, angry, reactive, easily and quickly, and whose escalations last a long time. I'm like, yeah, check.
Check.
You have a child where typical name the feeling strategies not only don't help, but can make things worse.
Check.
Check. Right? That's one of my biggest struggles is that like everything I try to do to de-escalate her and help her doesn't work. It just makes her more mad. Your child struggles to take in help when he needs it the most. In fact, in times of struggle, your child tends to push away your efforts to connect or offer support. That's a huge one.
Check.
Big check. You're looking for more strategies to help your child learn regulation skills, of course. And then this one, you've used words like dramatic or drama queen or overly sensitive or disproportionate with your child and want more positive and effective way forward. And just all of them felt like such obvious like ticks. I'm like, all right, you got me, Becky, you got me. And so I bought this two-part course. And not only that, Laura, Steve and I watched the first one.
Wow.
We haven't watched all of it yet, but we watched the first one. And I got Steve to watch it with me too, which is the great thing about parenting courses, right? Like books are a little bit harder to like pass on and be like, hey, read this like 200 page thing.
Yeah.
So it was like an hour course. It was like basically a Zoom workshop she did and she just recorded it and now puts it out as a course. And I learned a lot of really great stuff.
Well, that sounds amazing. What's the big takeaway you think from this first course you watched? Like, how are you moving forward, changing your parenting?
Yeah, there's so much in here and I don't want to give it all away because, you know, it's Dr. Becky's
obviously
intellectual work. But yeah, there are a few things to share. One of the biggest things that I took away from this is something simple, but something I needed to hear. First of all, Becky says she has a daughter like this. I think she's like four years old. And she's like, I have experience with a kid like this myself. I've worked with adults who were kids like this. And she's like, first of all, there's nothing wrong with your kid. And there's nothing wrong with you. And that was just like, just like a sense of relief came over me because I honestly spend time wondering that, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, what's wrong with Cece, you know? And so that was kind of like a relief. And she's like, also look at how many people are taking this course, right? Because it was like a Zoom workshop that she was doing. She's like, this thing sold out like immediately. More people want this kind of class. And there's nothing wrong with you or your kid. Like, this is normal. So first of all, that's that. And another big takeaway that I took from it is something she said about kids like this is like in their times when they're not tantruming or melting down, one really important thing to do is what she calls special time, which is like spending one-on-one time with your child, like 15, 20 minutes, no phones, no TVs, no distractions whatsoever, just purely focused on them, letting them take the lead on play and really, really giving them that deep, deep attention, which is something I've obviously known, but just hearing it and how important it is to someone like Cece is like, okay, that's a great reminder for me to start working special time into our life. And I've been doing that and it's been great.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is like, I feel like we are similar in a lot of ways, which is like, we require external accountability for stuff. And though we know that like the one-on-one time is important, like having someone tell you like, it is important for this reason, and it like basically you're going to get a gold star for doing it, like, really helps.
It does. It really does. And I took a look at myself in our day, honestly, and I was like, yeah, I'm with her a lot during the day, but honestly, a lot of that time I'm on my computer, I'm working, I'm not actually fully engaged with her. So it is something I could do more and earn more gold stars. So she starts out by talking about like what you as a parent need to learn to do for yourself. Mm-hmm. If you have a child like this, and I think this is probably good for anyone with a toddler because they all have meltdowns and tantrums. But she's like, you need a deep breath practice. Like in those moments when they're tantruming and dysregulated, there's not much you can do anyway. So she's like, what I do, I put my hand on my chest and I just like breathe in and breathe out slow. Like this is what she does. So I took that away. Like that is something I am doing now when she tantrums. And then the next part of the lesson is like what to do in the escalated moments, like how to handle those moments because nothing you do or say works really for these kids.
Yeah.
And then she breaks it down into like how to handle it afterwards. So you try to have fewer of these breakdowns because that's the ultimate goal, right? Is like to have this happen less often. So she talks about like having a firm boundary, don't use a lot of words when they're in the meltdown because it doesn't help. And then how to talk to them about it afterwards, because talking to these kids directly about this kind of stuff makes them feel like embarrassed or shamed and they just don't really want to talk about it. So like fun, different techniques and ways to kind of broach the topic and how to teach them regulation and stuff like that. And it's been really helpful so far. And I'm excited to watch the next one. I want to put some of these things into practice first and then watch the next one. But it's awesome. If you have a kid like this, I highly recommend this course. This is not an ad. I love Dr. Becky. She's so great and helpful. And I love her advice.
Awesome. I need to look through her course offerings because I love nothing more than a class. Like truly, forever nerd wants to take a class. So
yes, I took notes like a good little nerdy college student.
Very good.
And everything.
Paper notes or digital notes?
I was too lazy to get up and actually get a pen and paper. I would have preferred to take paper notes, but I was like, ugh, it's already 8 o'clock. I don't move after 8. So I just grabbed my phone and typed out notes. But yeah, so yeah, and I will definitely keep everyone updated on how it continues to go and if it makes any improvement.
Please do. Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of people who could benefit from that kind of reporting.
Yeah. All right, so that's me. What about you? What do you got for us this week?
I also have a BFP.
All right.
And mine is an app that I learned about on TikTok because that's where I do all my learning these days, apparently.
Yes.
And it's called Novel Effect. Have you heard of it?
Huh.
Okay. be ready to be impressed, Shauna. This app is so cool. So you can get like a free version of it for 7 days or something. And then after that, unfortunately, it's paid. And it's not like the most inexpensive app. Like, I don't remember exactly how much it costs, but they have like a year-long subscription thing. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, I don't want to pay for this. This seems silly. But then I started using it and it's such a hit in our house that I immediately like got a year-long subscription to it. So what Novel Effect is it's an app that lives on your phone and they have like a big library of books that are like books that you have, you know, Little Blue Truck and The Bad Seed and all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Popular books, Dragons Love Tacos, for example. Mm-hmm. And what the app does is it listens to you read the book and uses like voice recognition to add a soundtrack and sound effects to you reading the book.
Ooh, that's fun.
It's super fun. And Augie loves it. Like loves it, loves it, loves it. And one book that's particularly good on it is Little Blue Truck.
Uh-huh.
Let me see if I can give you a little sample.
So you're saying they have kind of some sound effects and music preloaded for specific books, and then it listens to when you say certain words and then adds them in? Is that kind of what it does?
Yeah. So it knows where you are in the book based on like voice recognition. So it follows along with you reading and adds these sound effects in. So you're not actually reading the book on the app. It's just like listening in. And you can broadcast it to like your smart speakers, right? So it can like be in the room with you.
Oh.
Let's see if I can get Little Blue Truck on here. Horn went beep. Engine purred. Friendliest sounds you ever heard. Little Blue Truck came down the road. Beep, said Blue to a big green toad. Toad said croak and winked an eye when Little Blue Truck went rolling by. Sheep said baa. Cow said moo. Oink, said a piggy. Beep, said Blue.
Okay, that is super cute. I love that. Does it record it and then so they can play it back later while they're looking at the book like an audiobook? Or is it just an enhancement of the reading process?
No, it's just an enhancement. So it's almost like augmented reality, right?
Yeah.
Like it's only happening while you're reading. And it will like go back. If you go back to an earlier page, it'll like jump back and do those sound effects at the beginning of the book. Like it's actually pretty cool how much it understands.
Uh-huh.
And it just, they have a ton of books. Like, name a book. Let's see if we have it in here.
Okay, let me think of a book I just recently read. Llama Llama Red Pajama.
I'm almost certain. Let's see. Yes, not only do they have Llama Llama Red Pajama, but they also have La Llama Llama Rojo Pijama, which, apologies for my Spanish pronunciation.
That's awesome.
Have a lot of Spanish books in here, too.
Okay, what about new books? Here's a new book that we got recently that I love, and I'm going to add it to our website, actually, because I love it so much. It's called Going Up.
It doesn't look like they have it yet, but they do let you make a suggestion. So, like, you can suggest books, and they'll add them. I searched Going, and they have the Going to Bed book, and We're Going on a Bear Hunt. We're Going on a Bear Hunt's another really fun one with this
fun
app. Because, you know, there's a lot of built-in sort of sound effects that you're supposed to do, swishy, swashy, swishy, swashy. And do you have that book?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, that's a fun book. And it has like a howling wind and squelching mud and all this stuff and a bear. And yeah, it's all added in. So I've really enjoyed this. Augie's now like, we need a book with a soundtrack. What book has a soundtrack? And he's trying to pick them out.
We don't want a boring book with just pages.
Yeah. So Novel Effect.
Do they also provide the words or do you have to actually have the physical book?
No, you actually have to have the book. So I think that's how they get away with it not being like a copyright issue.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But they have tons and tons of books. It's really cool.
Okay, cool. I just downloaded it. We are going to try it tonight, and I think it's going to be a hit.
All right. But anyway, that is my BFP, and I think it is time, Shauna, that we read a 5-star review and get on out of here.
Let's do it.
So, Shauna, it's your turn to read one of our reviews.
Okay, I'm excited. This one is from Kay Cloveheart on Apple Podcasts. The title is Love Them. Lots of M's, both. 5 stars. I'm 20 weeks pregnant and I started at episode 1. I'm on 17 and I'm loving it. Heart faces. so relatable, and it's like I'm talking with my girlfriends. Love you, girls. Thanks for making my morning commute much better.
Aw, thank you so much.
Thank you. So many people listen on their commute. You know, that is like my favorite thing to do on a commute, and I'm so happy we can keep our audience company while they drive.
Yes, right now my commute is driving Sebastian around so he can nap while they work on our house. So I love a podcast during a commute. So absolutely. Thanks everyone for listening.
Yes. And if you want to leave us a review, we might read it on our show. So head on over wherever you listen, leave us a 5-star review. Tell us what your favorite segment is on our show or a fun tip or trick that you learned. And those reviews help us so much, helps other listeners want to take a chance on our show. We really, really appreciate you taking the time to do that. So thank you so much. And let your friends know about BFP. Laura, I think that our listeners probably have some stump the mom questions they could stump us with. If anyone wants to write in and let us know, where can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, just throw a voice memo in there. Why not? Send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join a group of amazing people on the internet, just search Big Fat Positive Community on Facebook. Request to join because it's a private group. And make sure you answer those two membership questions so we know you're not a robot. And then we will let you straight through so you can join in on all the really cool conversations we're having in there.
Our show is produced by Laura Burek, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.